Now, it's very interesting to note that in about 12 of the books of the Bible, the first chapter of each of these books gives us a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a Scotchman who loved the Lord and was visiting in a city, and he went to hear a very eloquent preacher in the morning service, and while the preacher was back shaking hands with the folks as they left, he just walked up and on the pulpit he put the 12th chapter of John, a little verse. And that verse, all he put was the number, and that verse is, "Sir, we would see Jesus. I'll be back tonight." So when he came back at the night, the man preached the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went back to shake hands. Then he gave that verse in the last chapter of John. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were glad. He just put the reference there. Perhaps you heard the story of the young man who loved the Lord, but he went to the seminary and the college, and he got a degree, and he got the high and mighty. And he was having his ordination sermon, and the dear old man that loved him so much when he was a young fellow was in the audience. And after he gave his very eloquent message, it was a masterpiece for his English and diction's concern. And after it was homiletically, you might say, just perfect. And people came up and shook hands with him. But his dear old Christian friend, whose approval he wanted more than that of any other man, remained silent after they all left. He went to him and he said, "So many people congratulated me on my message. You haven't said a word." "Oh," he said, "you said some wonderful things, but your message didn't please me." He said, "Why?" He said, "You didn't make enough of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, "You know, this little town here in England, there are 7 different roads that go out of here. And," he said, "if you follow every one of those 7 roads, though they seem to go in a different direction, every single one of them heads up in, leads you to London, the metropolis of England." And he said, "You take my advice. Whether you preach from any text, whether you preach from any text from Genesis to Revelation," he said, "always let your text lead you to the Lord Jesus, for he's the metropolis of the Scriptures." Wasn't that beautiful? The metropolis of the Scriptures. Now, you've heard me say this, and I've gone over it very carefully with my lead pencil from the first of Matthew to the last of Revelation. And I marked a little ring around every reference to Jesus Christ by noun and pronoun. And I found 6,988 marks. So you can see that the whole New Testament is written for the same purpose that John spoke in the 20th chapter of John. The last verse, he said, "Many other things Christ did, and I haven't recorded them, but I have recorded these that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name." Very interesting to note that when Philip went down to Samaria, it says in Acts 8:5, he went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. And then in the very same chapter, he went down to that desert place and he saw the eunuch riding in the chariot. And that eunuch was sitting in the chariot reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And he came to the place where it says he was taken from prison and from judgment, and for the transgression of my people was he smitten. And the Holy Spirit said, "Philip, run near to that chariot. That man needs you." And when Philip got into the chariot, the eunuch said to him, I'm just reading here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where it says he was taken from prison and from judgment. He was wounded for our transgression. Of whom did Isaiah speak? Of himself or of some other man? And you know what the verse is next. Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. The story was told of the preacher who went into the auction sale. They were selling masterpieces, great pictures of a rich millionaire. And the auctioneer was behind one of these great masterpieces, and he was describing, giving the history of the painter and the picture. And he'd cry out, and the people in front were bidding $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. And just as he said, sold to the highest builder, a bidder at $12,000, the preacher walked out. When he got to the corner, he said, I learned a lesson. He said there wasn't a person in that room that saw the auctioneer. And the auctioneer did not want anybody to see him or to have their minds taken off of that picture. His business was to present that picture and make the sale of the picture. He said, from here on, he said, I want to be like that auctioneer. You remember Moses and Elijah were on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, but concerning the disciples, it says they saw no man save Jesus only. Well, it's wonderful to go into these chapters. Now, we advertised there the first chapter of Revelation, Alpha and Omega. When you go home, you compare the first chapter of Genesis with the first chapter of Revelation. It's a very interesting thing. I'll never forget what Dr. Campbell Morgan said here when he preached on Christ in all the scriptures. He said, in the 39 books from Genesis to Malachi, he is latent. L-A-T-E-N-T. He says, in the books from Matthew to Revelation, he's patent. Now, he said, I don't know why the people who gave us our language used one word, L-A-T-E-N-T, as latent, and the other one, P-A-T-E-N-T, as patent. He said, I presume it's the same reason that you call potatoes potatoes and tomatoes tomatoes. But he meant this, that Christ is hidden in the 39 books, and he's revealed in the 27 books. He's brought out. He's hidden in the very first chapter of Genesis. The first chapter of Genesis is the chapter that my pastor used to lead to Christ, a Jew who became one of the most faithful witnesses that the Lord ever had in this country. He began with him in the first chapter of Genesis. That very first word, in the beginning, God. Now that word God there are five Hebrew words translated God. The simple word is E-L. You find it many, many times in the Old Testament. Wherever you have a combination of E-L, like Joel or Elijah or Daniel or any E-L, it always means God the Strong One. There's a longer form of that word, E-L-O-A-H, Eloah. Then there's a word, A-D-O-N-A-I, which means a reigning master. Then there's a word that's translated hundreds of times, Lord, which is Jehovah. But the very first verse in the Bible is E-L-O-H-Y-M, and that is the plural of Eloah. So the first time you have the name God in the Bible, it's in the plural. And there you have the Trinity, Three in one, and one in three, and the one in the middle died for me, as the little boy explained it. People tried to explain these things. Of course you can't explain the Trinity. But you have it very clearly set forth, that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you have them at work in the first chapter of Genesis. After it says in the beginning God, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And then God said in Genesis 1:26, Elohim said, let us make man in our own image. Adam was made in the image of the triune God, and it had nothing to do with his physical image. Adam was in the image of God before God made him a tabernacle and put him in the tabernacle. When the apostle Peter said, shortly, I must put off this tabernacle. I'm on the inside, but I'll not cease to exist when the tabernacle's off. I'll put off this tabernacle. And that's what you and I are going to do if the Lord doesn't come. We'll have to put off this tabernacle someday. And then we'll be absent from the tabernacle and we'll be at home with the Lord. So we read in the very first chapter of the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And in the last chapter, the last book of the Bible, the first chapter of Revelation, notice what it says. Not the revelation of St. John the Divine. So foolish to have that. The word revelation is apocalypsis, the unveiling. Here's the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto John. Now notice, the ninth verse. Well, we better notice here first, the seventh verse. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega. Now you know Alpha is the A and Omega is the Z. I am A and Z. I'm everything between in all the alphabet. I'm Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He says it again in the 11th verse. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And now notice in the 17th verse. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of Hades and of death. Now, John also wrote an epistle. And when you have the time, read the first epistle of John, the first chapter and the last chapter. Notice what he says in the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Eternal life here is personified. Christ said, you remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the life. Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. And at the funeral, or the grave, rather, of Lazarus, two of the greatest verses in all the Bible, Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now we start with the first chapter of Matthew and the first chapter of Luke. The only two records where you have the story of the virgin birth and the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to the Gospel of John in the first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, it's very interesting to note that the first chapter of John is like the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then it says, "The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And of His fullness have all we received in grace upon grace. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's why we have Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He had been in the form of God. He thought it not a thing to be grasped after, to be on the equality with God. You remember when the Lord met Moses and wanted to raise him up and send him to Egypt to deliver His people? And He told him to take off his shoes, for the place whereon he stood was holy ground in the second and third of Exodus. Well, he said, "When I go to Pharaoh, by what authority will I go? What must I tell him?" He says, "You tell Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. I am that I am. I am." Now, it's very interesting to note that Matthew, Mark, and Luke never used this expression at all. But in the Gospel of John and in the Revelation, John the Apostle recorded the 23 times that Jesus Christ called Himself the I Am. And as we read the first chapter of John and go through it, we think of the first chapter of Colossians, that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, it says everything was made by Jesus Christ, and everything was made for the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, God is set forth in the Bible as a creator, as a king, as a savior, and as a judge, and God doesn't do any of those things. He does everything by Jesus Christ. That's the reason He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." That's the reason it's so foolish when our statesmen and our politicians and our president and our congressmen will give a long message of what we're going to do, and then finally they say something, just a little bit of postscript. They'll say something about God, but they dare not mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, God pays no attention to anything they say. There isn't any sinner today that can pray a prayer to God. You cannot reach God. And if you're unsaved, you do not have to pray for salvation. I'm speaking on that tonight over the radio. Never after you get the gospel grace. There isn't any way that you can reach God or contact God or get any blessing from God except through Jesus Christ. When it says God will have all men to be saved, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Peter was standing there when he said that. And just about a year later, Christ had died, and Peter stood up the day after Pentecost. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Now, if you'll go through the book of John and take there and in the Revelation, the 23 times that Christ said, "I am," when you get through with it, you'll either say this: that man was either Almighty God in human form, or he was the greatest imposter that ever lived on this earth. He said, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sin." One way to keep out of eternal hell and to go to eternal glory is to believe that Jesus Christ was the eternal I Am. He said, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the true vine, ye are the branches. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered and put in the fire. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have in him the light of life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came with their lanterns and their sword. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I that speak unto thee, I am. And every one of them fell down. And if the Lord had permitted them to stay there, every one of them would have been killed. But he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So he says, I am. And he withdrew the judgment and they got up and took him. He says, no man can take my life from me. I lay it down. My Father loved me because I'm going to lay it down. When he died on the cross and they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. They told the truth and they told a lie. You remember when he put the ear back on the Malchus, one of his disciples cut the ear off of that man. And he put the ear back and he said, I could call more than 12 legions of angels. He stood before Pilate and Pilate said, do you know that I have power to crucify you or release you? He says, you haven't that power at all. You haven't any power. The only power you have is because I've come into the world and God sent not his son in the world, condemned the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Foreordained from before the foundation of the world to be the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. God had provided for our redemption through the blood of Christ before Adam ever sinned. That was in the eternal purpose and mind of Almighty God before sin ever entered into the world. And so the Lord Jesus Christ appeared once in the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat of me and never die. I don't know whether you ever, I wouldn't advise that you waste your time. I was cleaning up my books the other day, some of them, and I came across Bruce Barton's book. It's entitled, A Man Nobody Knows. And he presents a Jesus in that Bible that's as different from the Christ of the Bible as anyone could possibly be. Camel Morgan, my dear friend whose ministry is responsible for my being in the ministry today, he stood in this pulpit and he said, I just finished the book of Bruce Barton, The Man Nobody Knows. He said that man's title was absolutely true. He says the Jesus of that Bible no man knows, and he said, thank God nobody wants to know him. No, he tried to, he said, don't call him the Son of God, call him the Son of Man, and then it'll be easy to understand him. Do you know the most intricate, difficult, profound truth that you have in the Bible, referring to Jesus Christ, the things that where he's called the Son of Man are the most difficult? When he said, no man hath ascended up to heaven at any time except the Son of Man which came down from heaven, which is also in heaven. Does that make it easy? When he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day, and you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, with judgment upon the earth. When you read the wonderful statements about the Son of Man, it says, no man has seen God at any time except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. He was in the bosom of the Father, and he hath revealed him. All of these wonderful I Ams that you get in John. There are 20 in John and 3 in Revelation. So he just takes the whole thing and he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lord Almighty. 9 times in the Bible, Jesus Christ is called God. When the Father brought the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Well, God says in his Bible, the Lord God shall you worship and none else. And he said to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's what the Father said to his Son, according to Hebrews 1:8. So you get the first chapter of John, you get the first chapter of Matthew, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter of Ephesians, the first chapter of Colossians, and get these first chapters, and the first chapter of 1 John, the first chapter of Revelation, and read these wonderful statements. In Hebrews we read, you remember there, God who at sundry times and in divers manners in times past spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, by whom he created the world, who being the effulgence of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And you get the picture of that in Ephesians. In Ephesians it says that God hath raised him far above all principalities and power, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. You remember what Paul wrote in Colossians? That in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I wonder if you've ever heard Down You Go and some of these very brilliant people. They're four of the as brilliant people as I've ever known. And every time they ask him a question, including the leader, if the leader hadn't looked it up and asked him a simple question on the Bible, and they say, well, we don't know anything about the Bible. Then they talk about having an education. And you've heard that on the different televisions if you've listened to them in these different questions they ask. The ignorance of the Bible, the ignorance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So you have all the way through the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've said so many times, it's all included in the 7th of Luke and the 10th chapter of Hebrews. John the Baptist said, art thou he that should come? Now what did John the Baptist mean when he said, art thou he that should come to the Lord? Here it is. Let me read it to you in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. This is the chapter that I read to a Jehovah's Witness who was in the office, said he believed that Jesus was a created God, but he was not the God, the Creator, the self-existent one. So I read the 35th chapter of Isaiah. And my, he wanted to get away from it. I said, oh no, we'll stay there. And notice what it says. Isaiah 35:3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God will come. God will come. Now notice he repeats it here. God will come. How will you know that he's God? The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as an hart. And when John the Baptist said, art thou he that should come? The Lord referred to the 35th chapter of Isaiah, and he says, I am doing the things that are in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. You go tell John the Baptist what you've seen, and tell him never be offended or ashamed of me. Beloved, would you tell me how the Lord Jesus Christ could ever save any individual if he was born, as the Jews said? Now, do you know our modernists are making the same claim? When the Lord Jesus Christ told the Jews in the 8th chapter of John, he says, I came down from heaven, I am the light of the world. And he says, God is our Father, and we're not born like you, we're not born of fornication. You were conceived and born out of wedlock. Mary wasn't married to Joseph. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come in my Father's name and you will not receive me. Another is coming in his own name and him you will receive. The Antichrist is coming. Last night when I heard this man telling about the flying saucers, where are these flying saucers coming from? And the lady down in Alabama, the meteor piece of the rock, about 6 or 8 pounds, fell in a room. They're already bid up to $20,000 for that. Smithsonian Institute wants it. And right after that, they were talking about the flying saucer. Beloved, you know the nation Israel was born in the midst of signs. Did you ever read all the signs in the first chapters of Exodus? The signs that that came when Israel was born as a nation? Now they're going to be reborn in the midst of signs. And believe me, they'll be flying saucers. The moon is going to be turned into blood. The stars are going to fall from heaven. There'll be a time of trouble on this earth such as was never known. They'll see flying saucers. And I'll tell you, they'll be pretty large saucers. You can't just keep on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very jealous concerning his son. You remember he said, Peter, they're all turning away from me. Are you boys going to turn away, you disciples? To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, raised from dead, the greatest man ever born a woman. What do you say about it? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood never told you this. You can't learn that in the University of Chicago. If you believe it when you go out there, you won't believe it when you come back. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 1-3. And Jesus Christ said, no man knoweth the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son shall make him known. So you're just closed up to one narrow way. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And Jesus Christ is that door. And you can't get to God in any other way. And you can't get to God through Jesus Christ and his teaching. When Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, he says, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a scandalon. Unto the wisdom of this world it is foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And give him his full title. I just read the Book of Mormon by the first president, Charlie Penrose, who succeeded Joseph Smith. He never speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord Jesus Christ. Mrs. Eddy never called him our Lord Jesus Christ. The Adventists never call him the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses never call him anything but Jesus. The I Am movement calls him Jesus. But God hath made this same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, and wherever you go, speak of our Savior and give him his full title, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then you won't have to separate yourself from them. They'll separate from you. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lord God Almighty. I am he that liveth. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And God has him at his right hand in a glorified body, and we're going to be with him, and it may not be very long. Let's not be ashamed before him at his coming.